The shir tonight is on the topic of slichos, and the title is Approaching the 13 Attributes. Tonight, the shir is going to focus on one of the hallmarks of our slichos, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Mechanun. So there's an interesting gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which is appropriate for the upcoming slichos, which explains the value of the Yud Gimel Midos, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Mechanun. So we're going to look at this gemara and try to break it down and analyze it. And I think as a result of that, at the end of this year, we'll have insight and be able to approach Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum a little bit differently. So the Gemara is pretty simple, and we'll look in source number one. It's Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. So Gemara starts as follows. Vayavur Hashem al panav vayikra. Hashem passed before Moshe, and he proclaimed. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, what does this mean? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, il male mikra kasuv yefshar laomro. If not for the pasuk saying this, that Hashem passed before Moshe and he proclaimed it, we wouldn't be able to say it. What does that mean? Malame, this teaches us, shenis atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishaliach tzibor, that Hashem, he wrapped himself up like a shliach tzibor, presumably in a talis or he was in a wrapping, v'hera lo l'moshe seder tefila, and he showed Moshe the Seder, the order of this tefillah. So Amar Lo, he said to him, Kol Zman she Yisrael Chotin, whenever Klal Yisrael are sinners, Yasu Lefanai Keseder Azeh. What you should do is you should follow this formula. Vani Mocha Lahem, and as a result, I will have Mechila, I will forgive them. And what is the formula? Hashem Hashem, Ani Hu Kodem Shiechte Adam, Bani Hu La'achar Shiechte Adam. So we start with Hashem Hashem and the Hashem Kel Rachums. And it means that Hashem exists, or we're going to explain this further, but Hashem is there before man sins and after. V'yaseh tshuva, and after man sins and does tshuva. Kel rachum mechanun. Hashem, who is merciful and compassionate. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Bris krusa l'shlosh esrei midos she'enan chozros rekam. There is a covenant with the 13 attributes of Hashem that if they're used properly, or if they're used, that they'll not be empty-handed. They'll not be returned empty-handed. Shneamar hinei anochi koreis bris. As it says in the psukim, I am creating a covenant. So the Gemara, just to summarize the Gemara says that Hashem, he appeared before Moshe wrapped up like a shliach tzibor, and he explains to him that if you say these 13 midos, which start with the concept of Hashem Hashem, Anihu Kodem Shechta Adam, I am there before man sins, and I am there after man sins and does tshuva, then there's a bris with the Yud Gomel Midos that they will always be answered. That if Klal Yisrael use this formula, they'll be answered. So I think that there are three parts to this Gemara, and there are three questions, and a question on each part. So if I were to break down the Gemara, which we're going to use to analyze the Gemara, the first part is the idea that Hashem was wrapped up like a shliach tzibor. So the question is, what is the value of teaching us that Hashem was wrapped up like a shliach tzibor, and what can we learn from that idea, that concept? And that's really the first element of the Gemara, that Hashem, when he appeared to Moshe in telling him what to say, in telling him how Klal Yisrael should say Hashem Hashem, he wraps himself up. And of course the Gemara says that we can't understand it literally, that Hashem wrapped himself up, because Hashem doesn't have any form, we don't understand Hashem in a physical sense. So what is the concept of the Medrash of the Gemara conveying to us by saying that Hashem wrapped himself up? So that's question number one. Question number two is this: what is the concept of Hashem Hashem, that Ani hu kodem shiachta adam, I exist before man sins and I exist after man sins? What is that concept? How are we supposed to understand that concept? And finally, the last part of the Gemara is this concept, this idea that there's a bris, there's a covenant, that for some reason, if you use these 13 midos, as we do in Slichos on Yom Kippur, when we say Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum, for some reason, they will always be answered, they will always work. So how does that work? How is it possible that you have this magical formula in the Torah, that if you say certain words, they somehow will definitely work? So again, those are the three questions that we're going to take up, and we're going to go in order. But I think when we answer each question, eventually we're going to put them all together to have a nice understanding of Slichos and of the 13 attributes. So the first question that I want to take up is the first point in the Gemara, that Hashem, when it says, Vayavur Hashem al panav vayikra, that as Hashem was showing Moshe and explaining to him the Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum, he appears wrapped up like a Shliach Tzibor, and it's not literal. So the question that we asked was, what's the purpose, the goal of conveying Hashem being wrapped up like a Shliach Tzibor? And maybe with that we can start understanding the Gemara. So if you look in source number two, Rabbi Akiva Eger, who's famous for showing other Gemaras that contradict Gemaras that you do, or showing connections with other Gemaras, he quotes two other Gemaras where it uses the same phraseology of Il Male Mikra Kasuv Yefshar LaOmro. If not for the Pasuk telling us this, we wouldn't be able to say this. One is in Megillah and the other one's in Sota. So the one in Megillah is also an idea about Hashem and a posture of Hashem, but the other one in Sota is about Moshe's burial place. So we're going to do the Gemara in Megillah because I think that there's a connection and we can understand the idea of Hashem appearing a certain way through looking at these two Gemaras together. So the Gemara is in Megillah, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, also a simple, easy Gemara to understand. Not to understand, but to read, literally. So the Gemara says in source number three, so Tana, the Gemara says, Tana Masha'en Kein B'Torah. So we know that if you look at Rashi in source number four, Masha'en Kein B'Torah, She'en Korin B'Torah B'Tzibor M'Yushav. See, by Megillah, halachically, you're allowed to sit when you read Megillah, but by the Kriyas HaTorah, when we're in Shul, and they're leaning the Torah, you actually have to stand up, and you're not allowed to sit down. So the Gemara says, Minahani Mili, where do you know that the person who's reading the Torah in the Tzibor has to stand up? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abahu, De Amar Kra Ve'ata Po Amodi Madi. Because the Pasuk says that when Hashem is teaching Moshe the Torah, he says, you stand with me. The Amar Rabbi Avahu says, Il Male Mikra Kasuv I Efshar LaOmro. If not for the Pasuk saying this, we wouldn't be able to understand this and say this. Kaviyachol Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'amida. And it's trying to teach us this idea that it's as if Hashem was standing up. And if you look at number four in Rashi, it says, Kaviyachol Nemar Ba'Kadosh Baruch Hu Kiba'adam Shiyachol Le'amar Bokein. So the Gemara is referring to Hashem, and the Limud is talking about Hashem as if you were a person. So just as we saw in our Gemara, that when Hashem teaches Moshe the idea of the Yud Gimel Midos, he's wrapped up like a Shliach Tzibor, and the Gemara says, if not for the Pasuk, we wouldn't be able to say this. So too in Megillah, there's an idea that Hashem was standing when he taught Moshe the Torah to teach us the halacha that a person is supposed to stand and obligated to stand when we read Torah in Shul. So again, the question on both Gemaras is, what's the value of teaching us that Hashem appeared in a certain manner, he did something, when obviously we know that it's impossible to understand it in a literal sense? So those are the questions, okay? So the first, I think the way to answer the first question, but I think we can put the Gemaras together, is to understand the concept of Atifa. What is the main concept of Atifa? And where do we know Atifa from? What's the classic example of Atifa? So I think we all know that it's tzitzis, that mitzvah, well, maybe not all of us, but men know that it's mitzvah tzitzis. And there's an idea of atifa in mitzvah tzitzis. So we have to understand, delve into the concept of atifa, because the Gemara before in source number one says that Hashem was misatif in kishliach tzibor. So what is the value of atifa, and what can we learn from this idea of atifa in the Yud Gimel Midos? So if you look in source number five, it's in Hilchos Tzitzis, Simen Chesif Beis. It's a Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch says as follows, Seder atifaso kederech bnei adam shemisk'asim b'ksusam v'oskim b'molachtam pa'amim b'kisoy rosh pa'amim b'giloy harosh. So the way that you're mis'ateh, if you wrap yourself in a talis, according to the halacha, is that sometimes you can cover your head and sometimes you don't have to. But technically, the Mefarshim explain on the Shulchan Aruch that atifa doesn't demand covering your head. However, the Shulchan Aruch goes on. He says, v'nachon shi'chaser rosho b'talis. But it is a good thing that you should cover your head with your talis, and you should do atifa by covering your head. So the Shulchan Aruch holds that the same idea that we saw by atifa, that Hashem appears me'utaf, mis'atef, to Moshe, so too there's a halacha in tzitzis that we're supposed to be mis'atef, but tzitzis is part of the bracha. We say lisatef, but tzitzis. And one of the ideas of atifa is that it's a good thing to cover your head. So what is that idea of covering yourself and covering your head? So the Mishnah Berurah, in number six explains. He has an idea for Atifa, and this is, I guess, a practical idea as well. Why do we cover our head with a talis? Why do we appear completely wrapped? So it says, Shekisu izeh machnia lev ha'adam umevio lidei yirashamayim. So when you cover yourself, and you, especially when you cover your head in a talis, so what it does is it lowers your heart. It allows you to be in a modest, humble state. And it brings a person to yirashamayim. The Ayin B'Taz, the Taz explains, Shedaito de Nachon Shel Yasir Akova Katan Shal Rosho Be'ez Tetfila Afshu Mechase Rosho Be'Atalas Gamkin. So the Taz says that when a person covers his head with a talis, he's not supposed to take off his kippah. The Chasav Abach, the Tzarech Shia Talis Al Rosho Mitchilas Tetfila At Sofa. The Bach maintains that a person should cover his head, the whole entire tefila, with his talis. At least you should cover your head for the amount of time it would take to walk Dal Ramos. So what is the idea of Atifas HaRosh and the idea of Atifa in general? So the concept is that when man is not wrapped, when he's exposed, there's an idea of haughtiness there. There's an idea of a person being brash. But when you're wrapped up, especially when your head is wrapped up, so it's an idea of humility and modesty, that there's a barrier between you and God, and you're being covered up, and the idea of being covered up is it's machnia leva adam, that it allows man's heart to be lowered and to present himself and to think of himself in a humble manner. So that is the idea of atifa. So the question is again: what's the significance of God appearing misatif? Why does it have to be that Hashem appears this way? And also the concept that we can understand in Megillah as well. Okay, so there's one other point that I want to mention, and then we'll get to the first idea in the Gemara, which is critical. The Taz, in source number 7, we actually learn out a practical halachic point from this Gemara, from this idea of Atifa. He says in source number 7, the Chasav B'Levush, the Levush writes, this is the Taz on the Shulchan Aruch, Shashatz shemispalo slichos misatef betalis. So when the shatz, the shliach tzibor, when he says slichos, he has to wear a talis and be wrapped in a talis. Ve'enu mevarich, but he doesn't make a bracha. Kedi isa simenyudches be'inyan ksus laila. So when you put on your tzitzis at night, you don't make a bracha. Ve'li nira temua dechevan de laharosh chayev bevirchas bevracha beksus amyucha liyom afilu lav shubalaila. So he asks a good question. He says, why is it that the shatz, the shliach tzibor, should wear a talis at night when there's a shita, the Rush maintains that you make a bracha on a talis at night because a talis is really a beged, a clothing of the yom. So he answers, so why should you put yourself in a situation where you'd be a suffik bracha? Should you make a bracha or not? So he says, v'lo yivarech, l'chach nirali, Devadai below atifa klal yefshar. You can't stand there without atifa, without being wrapped. Mishum kvod ashchina, because of respect for the shchina. Uve prat beslichos sheomer vayavor, because it says vayavor in the slichos. That's one of the main ideas in slichos. The omer begemara shenes atif hakadosh baruch hu keshatz. And in the Gemara it says that Hashem was wrapped up like a shliach tzibor. Eliyikach, so what should you do? Eliyikach talis chavero, you should borrow your friend's talus, v'zeh lo yavor klum, ki kvar hochachnu b'chosisis de'en levarach talis she'ula. So what you should do is you should borrow your friend's talus because there's an idea of not making a bracha when you borrow a talus, which is really a separate point. But the idea of the Taz is saying is that the Gemara that we just learned in source number 1, it teaches us halachic idea as well, that when the shatz is saying slichos, he's supposed to cover his head, and so too there's a minog that even if you're listening to the slichos, that you should cover your head and be misatef, completely wrapped, when you're saying the Hashem Hashem kil rachum. So what is that idea of being completely wrapped, and why does Hashem have to appear completely wrapped? So this is the first point. Does anybody have any possibilities? Do they want to try a possibility? So I think the idea of atifa by Hashem being misatef, is that a person has to recognize that it's critical in terms of conveying the ideas of the Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum that a person be in a certain state. And the misatef is the concept that a person be in a certain state of being machnia leva adam, where his emotions are such that he's in a humble state. And that's critical for a person to saying slichos, to saying Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum. So just like we said, there's an idea of atifa and talis, so too, and that's machnia leva adam, so too, when a person approaches, when he's approaching the Yud Gimel Midos, just like Hashem was Misatef, he's teaching us an idea. He's teaching us how we're supposed to feel. And that's something that you can't just write down, but he's conveying the idea of what a person's supposed to feel and how a person's supposed to approach the Yud Gimel Midos. And he's supposed to approach the Yud Gimel Midos in a manner where a person is is Machnia Leva Adam, where he recognizes who he is relative to God and be in a humbled state. And so why does God have to represent this? So one is that you can't just write down this idea. It's not just a practical idea of being misatev. It's a concept in how a person's supposed to approach it emotionally and psychologically. But the other idea, which I think is connected to Megillah, is that even if you're a person who doesn't require this, you have to you have to approach it in this way. You have to take heed of even a Kaddish Baruch Hu. If a Kaddish Baruch Hu who's the highest existence, perfect, and we don't even understand that in a positive way, but if he's demonstrating an idea in b'machnia leva adam, or if he's demonstrating an idea of showing kavod a Torah, so that just emphasizes the concept that every man, every human being, no matter what level they're on, has to approach the Yud Gimel Midos and also approach Kriyas HaTorah in the same way. So the idea of Hashem being presented in a posture is to teach us an emotional idea, not a practical idea. It's not about standing per se. It's not about being misatev. It's about how we're supposed to feel and approach the Slichos, how we're supposed to feel and approach Torah with kavod. And even if we're the highest level individual, so God's demonstrating that even if you're on the highest level, so you're not equated to Hashem. And if Hashem has to do this, if there's an idea of Hashem being misatev, so too even the most perfected man has to approach the Yud Gimel Midos and Torah in the same way. So the idea of conveying an image of God being misatev, or an image of God standing, is not practical, it's not literal, because God isn't misatev, he's not standing, but it's to teach us how we're supposed to feel and how we're supposed to approach the Yud Gimel Midos, how we're supposed to approach Kriyas HaTorah. We're supposed to approach it in a Machnia Leva Adam way, by the Slichos, and by Kriyas HaTorah in a Kavod way. And it doesn't matter what type of person you are, what level you're on, you still have to approach it in this way. So that's really the idea of conveying the of God being Misatev. It's to teach us an emotional idea. Okay, so that's really the first point. So the first point of tonight's shir is that when you say Hashem Hashem Kol Rachum, it's not just, it's really critical. It's a critical idea that you approach it with a certain mindset and a certain emotional state. And that's what Hashem is conveying to Moshe in demonstrating or in appearing as Misatev. That when we approach the Yud Gimel Midos, we have to be Misatev. We have to appear, we don't not just appear, but we have to feel a certain emotional humility. Okay, fine. So now what's the idea? The next step in the Gemara is this concept of Hashem Hashem. If you go back to source number one in the first sheet, it says Hashem Hashem ani hu kodem shiyachte ha'adam v'ani hu la'achar shiyachte ha'adam. That I am Hashem before man sins and I am Hashem after man sins. And that's a critical idea in the Yud Gimel Midos. So what is that point? What is that concept here? So I think this is also a deep idea, and I think everything's going to work together, I think, at the end of this year. Anybody have any questions at this point? Okay, great. Okay, so we're in source number 8. So let's look at the psukim themselves. It says in source number 8, Shmos Perek Lamed Daled Pasuk Vav and Zayin. It says, Vayavur Hashem al panav vayikra, Hashem Hashem kil rachum mechanun erech apayim v'rav chesed memes. So Hashem passed before Moshe, and he called out, Hashem Hashem. So those are the two shemos of Hashem. Kil rachum mechanun, God who is compassionate, Hashem who is compassionate and merciful, erech apayim v'rav chesed memes. He's slow to anger, and he has a lot of kindness and truth. Notzer chesed la'alafim, noseh avon v'fesha v'chata'ah, v'nakeh lo yinakeh poked avon avos abonim, v'al b'nei vanim al shilishim v'aribayim. So he preserves kindness for thousands, and he repays people for sin, and he does not wipe clean those who sin, and he repays the children of fathers who are sinners up to third and fourth generations. So I think I gave a shir on this many years ago about that idea, but it's kind of not the focus of our shir. But if you look in source number 9 on the psukim, actually source number 9 is on the Gemara, on this piece, and also in the psukim, source number 10, it says number 9, Rashi. Rashi says, Hashem, Hashem, midas rachamim. This is a reference to the attribute of mercy. Ani merachim kodam sheyechte, v'ani merachim achar sheyechte, im yashuv. So I, Hashem, will offer a rachamim, mercy, before man sins, and I will offer rachamim after man sins. So obviously the question is, I think everybody has this question, why does man need mercy before he sins? What's this idea of rachamim before man sins? And again, if you don't believe that Rashi on the Chumash is the same thing. Look in source number 10. It says, Hashem Hashem, midas harachamim hi, achas kudemes sheyechte, v'achas achar sheyechte v'yashuv. So midas harachamim, One Hashem refers to Rachamim before man's sins, and the other refers to after man's sins and does tshuva. So this, it's a very strange idea. When we say Hashem, Hashem, and we're approaching it with this humility, we're supposed to say Hashem has Rachamim before man's sins, and Hashem has Rachamim after man's sins. And that is the concept of Hashem, Hashem. So what is that idea? How do we explain what it means that Hashem has Rachamim pre-sin and Hashem has Rachamim after sin? And how do we understand and analyze that concept? So that's the second question in the Gemara, and that's really the heart of the Gemara. So if we look in source number 13, there's really two Rishonim that I want to do. They take different approaches to how to answer that question. They actually ask that question on Rashi, but they both, I think, share an idea in common. So if you look in source number 11, the Das Zakenim Yibali Tosfos on the Chumash, they say like this. It's the source number 11, Vayikra Hashem Hashem. So he says, Anihu bal harachamim kodem shiyachti adam ulaachar shiyachti adam. Kach mefarish leib maseches Rosh Hashanah. So as we saw before, and Rashi explains, that when we say Hashem Hashem in the Yod Gimel Midos, we're referencing the idea of mercy, that Hashem has mercy pre-sin and Hashem has mercy after sin. Vitzarech iyun. So we have to analyze. Matzarech adam rachamim kodem shiyachti. So it wasn't just my question, but the Das Zakenim and many Rishonim ask the same question. What kind of idea is it that man needs rachamim, mercy, pre-sin, before he sins? V'yesh lomar, mikol makom hutzarech rachamim. So man does need rachamim, mercy, l'fisha galui v'yadua l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu shesofo lachto. Because Hashem knows that man will sin in the future. U'l'fizeh hashnei shemos heim yigomel midos. So based on this, the two shemos of Hashem Hashem are part of the Yud Gimel Midos. And then he goes on, we're going to take this up next, after this. But he explains that Rabbeinu Nissim argues about the count of the Yud Gimel Midos. So what's his answer? So his answer of the Das Zakenim is that we reference the concept that Hashem knows that man is going to sin, and there's a rachamim. The idea of rachamim pre-sin is the idea that Hashem expresses mercy because he knows that man will sin, and the other idea is rachamim after the sin. So, but it's still bizarre. What idea are we supposed to have in mind when we say Hashem? Why is that a critical idea that we recognize the mercy of God prior to man's sins because man will sin? And why does that demand mercy? I mean, the fact that Hashem knows that man will sin, so therefore there's a mercy for that. I still don't understand why there's a mercy for that and what the concept of rachamim we're supposed to have when we say Hashem Hashem. So there's one other point in the Chizkuni, and somebody, whoever wants to stop me in the middle, just stop me, just cut me off, ask questions, give possibilities. So if you look in the Chizkuni gives a different answer, and then I think we'll put it together. And so the Chizkuni says like this, Hashem Hashem, Perish Rashi, Kodem Shiyechte, V'achasi L'achar Shiyechte. So same thing, he explains Rashi, quotes Rashi. Perish Gabi Egel. So the answer is that, another answer is that this was talking about the Egel Azov. Dehu Avodah Zarah. This is Avodah Zarah. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarech Machshava L'maisa. By Avodah Zarah, even a thought of Avodah Zarah is considered a bad thing, is considered a negative, and he connects the Machshava to the Maisa. K'siv Be Hashem Hashem Achas Kodem Shiyechta Du Chayv Minahir Hur K'maisa. So the one is referencing man's thoughts before he does the sin of Avodah Zarah, and Hashem has mercy on man even when he just has those thoughts. But by the meraglim, where they're not chayev with because of their thoughts, they're only chayev after they did the action. There it says Hashem once. So the idea that the Chizkuni reflects or demonstrates presents is the idea of Hashem Hashem of Rashi, which is that Avodah Zarah, by Avodah Zarah, that Hashem gives mercy to man just with his thoughts when he thinks about Avodah Zarah, and he gives mercy to man after when he does the Maisa, and he connects the two in giving mercy. So again, the question is, what concept of mercy are we supposed to have when we say Hashem Hashem, and why does it double up as Hashem Hashem? What's the meaning of these two Hashems? Okay? So I just want to present a possibility, which I think fits into the Gemara. So the Gemara was first saying that when we approach the Yud Gimel Midos, we have to approach it with a certain emotional state. And it's not just enough to cover ourselves technically with the talis, but we also have to be machni our lev, and only with that are we going to be successful. But what is the idea of Hashem Hashem? So the concept, I think, that the Dasakim and the Chaskuni are saying is that both ideas of Hashem Hashem are ideas of how God's mercy takes into account His omniscience. That His ability to know the future, His ability to know all, to know man's internal thoughts and internal and His internal ideas is a factor in terms of man's mercy. And this is what makes Hashem's mercy different than human mercy. See, normally when a person, let's take the king case, the classic king case. If a person rebels against the king and he approaches the king and asks the king for mercy, so he's looking to play on an emotion of the king. And he's hoping that even though the king is angry at him, that the king will somehow change his mind and the king will somehow acquiesce. And you'll play and you'll hit an emotional note of the king. But both the Das HaKinim and the Chaskuni, and explaining Rashi, they're saying that God's Rachamim is different than man's Rachamim, essentially. So the idea of the Das HaKinim is that Hashem's Rachamim is different because Hashem's Rachamim is a system that's planned or that's pre-planned into the world. And it's not a system, it's not that God reacts when man does tshuva, and you're not changing his mind. But the idea of Rachamim is that God knows man's actions, God knows how man's going to sin, and his Rachamim is a system which is pre-planned for the actions of man. And that's unique, because most of the time, a king's Rachamim, any human being, they can't set up their Rachamim like that. Rachamim by a human being is an emotional response. By God, it's a system. It's already pre-planned into the world, how it's going to work, when it's going to work. And that's the uniqueness of Hashem's Rachamim. So the Das HaKinim, he's saying that when we say Hashem Hashem Kel Rachamim, we have to approach. So this is the second idea in the Gemara. The first idea is that we have to be in the right emotional state. But the second idea is that we have to understand that Hashem's Rachamim is not like man's Rachamim, that it's essentially different. And one idea in it, that the Das HaKinim is saying in the Shem of Rashi is that it's essentially different because of God's omniscience, He's able to pre-plan Rachamim. He's able to have a system of Rachamim as opposed to Rachamim just being haphazard and just being playing on an emotion, as we do with a king, with a president, or with any leader. So when you approach a leader, a normal leader, a human being, the Rachamim is just playing on an emotion. It's not really, there's no system of mercy. But with God, the whole thing is a wisdom, and it's a system, and it's something that just plays out in particular when man sins. But there's really a wisdom behind it and a system behind it. So once again, we approach the Slichos and the Hashem Hashem in a humble state. But we recognize when we approach Rachamim and we ask for Rachamim that God's Rachamim is completely different than man's Rachamim. And the Chaskuni is saying the same thing. See, normally by man's Rachamim, it can only apply to the outward actions of man. Because a judge, for example, or a king or a leader, they can only view man from the outside perspective. They can't view man from their thoughts. They can't view man's thoughts. They can't view man's internal personality. But God's Rachamim, that's the second idea. The Chaskuni is saying is that God's Rachamim is different than man's because God's Rachamim is perfect. It could fall upon a person in a perfect way because it could take into account elements that a human person can't see or can't know. So there's two. The main idea of the Gemara, and I think it's a critical point, is that when we approach the Hashem Hashem, we have to understand the difference between Hashem's Rachamim and human Rachamim. And if we approach it improperly, if we think that we're asking God for Rachamim like we would ask a king, a regular king, then we're totally off. But the idea of the Slichos is that in asking for Rachamim, the first point, which is the most important point, that's why the Gemara only points out Hashem Hashem Kel Rachamim, it doesn't list all the midos, is because the most important critical element is how we approach Rachamim and our understanding of Rachamim. And these two ideas, the idea of the Das HaKinim and the Chaskuni, are showing us that Hashem's Rachamim is essentially different than man's Rachamim. It's essentially different in the sense that that it's pre-planned and it's not fickle. And it's also essentially different because it can take into account the inner thoughts of man in applying Rachamim as opposed to man's Rachamim. So finally, there's a Tosfos on this, and he has. I just wanted to add a couple extra points. But anybody have any questions on that or want me to repeat it? Okay, great. Okay, so for source number 13, let's just skip down a little bit. So it says like this, Uva Megillas Esarim, so it's maybe four lines down. It says, Uva Megillas Esarim, it's one other point. Uva Megillas Esarim, Derabino Nisim, Ein mon Hashem arishon sheis psik bein Hashemos mishum dehachika amar kra hakadosh baruch hu shishmo Hashem kra Hashem rachum mechanun menotzer chesed la'alafim. So Rabbeinu Nissim, he argues with the way Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam approach this. So Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam hold that the first two names are two midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we just explained what they are. One is the idea of, they're both the ideas of Rachmim, but they're expressing the different uniqueness of Hashem's Rachmim, that Hashem's Rachmim is either planned, and the expression of Rachmim is just an expression of that pre-planning. So they're all saying that they're two midos. But Rabbeinu Nissim says no, that the way to read the pasuk is Vayavur Hashem al panav Vayikra Hashem. And then he says Hashem, the next Hashem is the first of all the other midos. So really the first Hashem of Hashem Hashem, according to Rabbeinu Nissim, is not one of the midos. It's just saying that Hashem called out, Hashem rachum lechanun v'notzer chesed la'alafim mona, and then he explains how the count works. The Tosas explains how the count works. So the question is, what does he hold? Why does he hold that the first Hashem is not a separate midas rachmim to express the uniqueness of rachmim, but rather he says that the Hashem is tied to the previous pasuk. Vayavur Hashem al panav, vayikra Hashem, Hashem kel rachum. That Hashem passed before Moshe and Hashem called out. So I think he's saying a little bit of a different idea, and the Svarno touches on this idea as well in the Torah, but I didn't bring the Svarno in. But he's saying that when we approach rachmim, we have to approach it in the framework of recognizing Hashem's existence being unique existence. Whenever we say the Shem Hashem outside of Midas Rachamim, it's always a reference to the highest level of man's knowledge, that we recognize God's uniqueness as an existence. So I think Rabbeinu Nissim is saying a different idea than Rashi. And he's saying that when we say Hashem, Hashem Kel Rachum, that the first Hashem is the idea of God's uniqueness as an existence, and that He is one God and He is the only God. But only within that context, that framework, can we understand Hashem Kel Rachum Mechanun. So the question is the first Hashem an element of Rachamim, and it's trying to highlight the uniqueness of Rachamim, or is the first Hashem the idea of God's unique existence? And we can only understand Rachamim within that context. Okay, but it's a similar idea, that when we approach the Hashem Hashem, we have to approach it in the proper emotional state, and we have to understand that either Hashem's Rachamim is unique, or the idea of God's existence being unique and Rachamim within that context, within that framework. So finally, I explained the first two parts of the Gemara, but finally the last question was the idea of a bris, krusa, with the Yud Gimel Midos. So there's a famous chinuch that I always like to quote, and I think it's relevant to the question. In source number 14, the chinuch talks about the iser, the prohibition of chover chover, of the snake charmer. And he says, and in this sefer chinuch, he takes up reading Tehillim for the sick, and he says in source number 14, it's sefer chinuch mitzvahs, Tuf Kuf Yud Beis, Shenimnu Milasus Ashvuos Ashum Inyan. So we're not supposed to just make Shvuos swear in general. Vizea Inyan Hushiomar Adam Dvarim, Vyomar Livne Adam, Shaosam Advarim, Yoilu O Yaziku, Le'echan Mikol Inyanim. And that means that if you tell a person or you believe that words will have a power and either damage somebody else, then you're over this Isser of Chover Chover, if you believe your words have physical power. It says, so the Torah specifically prohibits us from believing that words have power. Whether you're a snake charmer or a scorpion charmer, meaning you believe that by using certain words, you're going to prevent it from biting you. If you say things after you get hurt, and you believe that the pain is going to go away based on these words, because the words have a power, then you're over the sister chover chaver. So this makes the question that we asked on the Gemara even stronger. We said, what's the idea of a bris krusa? There's a bris with a yud gimel midos that if you say them, that you won't be returned empty-handed, that you'll be responded to by Hashem. That goes against the idea of the sefer chinuch, where we don't believe in a magical formula. We don't believe that words have power. So what kind of concept is it that these words have power? So I think the answer is, the answer fits into the whole approach of the shir. And the approach of the shir, which is critical for Slichos and Yom Kippur and Hashem Hashem, is that it's not about the words, but it's about the way man approaches the words. And the idea of the bris is not that the words themselves will automatically produce a response, but the idea is of the bris is that the words will always contain this potential to elicit a hashgacha response, but the only way that you can garner that potential is if you approach it properly. So once again, the Gemara is saying that a man has to approach it with the right emotional seriousness and humility, and he has to understand the uniqueness of God's rachamim and not approach Hashem the way you would approach a human leader. And then if you do it in that way, so the Gemara is saying, perhaps the Gemara is saying that you will be responded to, and there will be hashgacha response, especially to Klal Yisrael. But if you don't do it in that way, so then you won't be responded to. So the bris crusol, the shlosh esrei midos, isn't about the power of the words. The words don't have any intrinsic power. If you say Hashem Hashem kol rachum, and you're not in, and you don't have the proper state of mind, and you don't understand Hashem's rachamim, and you approach Hashem as if you were a human being, and you're trying to play on Hashem's emotions, then you're right. You won't, the bris won't work. The shlosh esrei midos won't work. But if you approach the shlosh esrei midos properly, if Klal Yisrael approach them properly, and if they have the right idea of rachamim, so the idea of the bris will, there is a concept that the people will be responded to. So it's not an absolute, it's not a magical formula, it's not an idea that if you say this, God will respond, because if that were the case, then we wouldn't have any tragedies in Klal Yisrael. But the idea is that if Klal Yisrael are able to put themselves in the right state of mind and say this and understand these ideas, then there's an idea that they'll be responded to. Yeah, somebody has a question? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So the first idea of humility doesn't make sense. Like, I think that's emotional. The other idea of having of Hashem's mercy, system of mercy in the world, is not, it seems like a little, emotionally it seems a little bit contrary to being humble, because if you think that the rachamim is built into the world, then it's sort of like you're kind of expecting to get it.
Well, no,
maybe
that's...
I understand the idea of understanding Hashem's,
So let me say it again.
Not emotional.
So let me say it again. I'll just, because I wanted to summarize anyway, so let me just say it again, so maybe it'll come out clearer. So the first idea, there's three parts to the Gemara. The first part is the idea of God's posture, and he's presenting himself like a shatz, and we said that there's actually a practical halachic idea that the shatz, and other people say that even the rest of the tzibur should cover themselves. But we said, what's the idea of covering yourself, and why does Hashem have to appear in this way, even though we know that Hashem isn't physical? So we said that he's trying to convey, there's a conveyance of a deep idea, and a lot of times you can't convey an emotional idea in writing or in speaking, but it has to be conveyed through a certain posture. And the idea of the concept is that a person of atifa, which we see by Talis and by Tzitzis, is that it's machnia leva adam, that man is in a humble state. So the first concept of the Gemara is that when a person approaches and wants rachamim and wants forgiveness, you have to recognize who you are, and you have to recognize who, I mean, what I mean by that is who you are relative to God, to Hashem, and you have to recognize that you're only a small human being, and you have to be covered. That's the idea of being covered. It's machnia your lev. It makes you not haughty. It's the absence of haughtiness. So the first idea is that it's critical, in order to benefit from the slichos and from the yigam umidos, to approach it in this manner. It's not just a kiyum, but it's really critical. It's really essential. The second point is the very idea of Hashem Hashem, that Hashem is rachamim before man sins and Hashem is rachamim after. And that's an idea of when we approach rachamim, we ask for rachamim, not only do we have to be in a state of humility, but we have to understand that Hashem's rachamim is not like man's rachamim, that it's essentially different. And if we don't approach it that way, if we think that we're asking Hashem the way we would ask a human king, and if we think that rachamim works in the same way, we won't elicit a hashgacha. It's really improper. It's really false. And we're not really going to obtain forgiveness. The only way to obtain forgiveness is to appreciate the uniqueness of rachamim, of the rachamim of Hashem. And I was explaining that there's two ways of understanding why it's unique. One, and they're both based on the omniscience of God. But one way is the idea that Hashem is able to create a system of rachamim, so it's not just fickle. Whereas by man, you're trying to plan a person's emotions. By God, everything is pre-planned. There's already a wisdom to the system of rachamim that man can't even, that there's no way for man to create anything comparable in terms of rachamim. And the second point was that Hashem is able to mete out rachamim not just based on the outer attributes of a person, the outer characteristics, but also the inner. And that makes God's rachamim unique. So both are saying that when we approach Hashem, Hashem, if we have the proper idea of Rachamim, and we understand Rachamim as being unique and different from man's Rachamim, only then can we really really understand the rest of the statement and also get forgiveness from God and really get Mechila. And then the last point was that the bris, the idea of the bris, isn't that it's a magical formula, but to the contrary, the whole point of the Gemara is that, and the whole setup of the Gemara is saying that if you do it properly, that if you're in the proper state of mind and you understand Rachamim, the Rachamim of Hashem being unique and it's and understand it in that manner, if you do that, then there's an idea that the Hashgacha will respond. But if you don't do it that way, then the Hashgacha won't respond. So it's not a magical formula. It's just telling you that if you do this properly and if you approach this properly, that's why the title of the shir was Approaching the Yigamu Midos, because you're supposed to approach the Yigamu Midos in a certain way in order for them to work, in order for them to be useful to man. I don't know if that helped at all.
I think what I said, yeah, I think that's what I said, because I think it does go with humility, you realize that there's a system in the world, and it's not you personally, but I think it really does go with humility.
I mean, you're no, because I would say the opposite. I would say the opposite. If you think that God is Rachamim is only for man and it's only for you, and you're playing on God's emotions, and you're going to somehow trick God, or you're some, because that's the idea of Rachamim in general. It's a lack of humility, because you think that you're smart enough that you can play on the king's emotions, or you can trick him. So that's the opposite. This is saying no, that there's a plan, there's a system in place, and I can't do anything. I can't use any shenanigans to try to play the system. And it's the opposite. So that is humility. It's a recognition that So I think that's the point. Okay. Anybody have any questions? Yeah.
What do women do? Because we don't have for women.
We don't have, right? What? Say it again.
We can't wrap, like, women can't really wrap themselves in
clothes. Oh, what are women supposed to do? That's a good question. You can cover your head with a hat. You know, people wear a hat. Well, a lot of times that's the idea of wearing a hat when you daven. So you can cover yourself with a hat if you're going to try, but the point of the atifa is, if you're not, that's the point of the atifa. It's to feel a certain, it helps you, it should help a woman feel, a certain humility, but, you know, so if you cover your head completely, even with a hat, you can achieve the same thing. Okay. That's why some people daven with a hat on. The idea of davening with a hat on is the same idea as being mechasa with a talis. That when you wear a hat also, you're covering your head completely. So it's the same concept. Okay? All right. Have a good night. Thank you. Have a good Shabbos, everybody. Thanks.